11, the Bible said, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the multitude," were "more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women." Listen to verse 15. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Of course, God did some amazing miracles back in those early days of the church at Jerusalem. Amazing things, miraculous things. I happen to believe that God still works miracles. I still believe in miracles. I do not believe that a lot of things that you turn on and see on television are real miracles. I believe a lot of what you see is fabricated and enhanced by media and camera work and all kinds of different things. But I do believe God still is in the miracle working business. Here in this story, we read about how that people had heard of Peter, and they brought their sick. And they found out where Peter was going to be passing through town at, and they brought their sick and they laid them on couches and beds and cots and blankets along the side of the highway where Peter would be passing through. And the Bible said they did that in hopes that at the very least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, I do not believe that as we read this passage that obviously it was a miracle. I take nothing away from the fact that this is a miraculous story. But I think we overlook the simplicity of what God really wants us to understand from many of the Bible stories, and that is the influence that Peter had. You see, Peter had such influence, the Scripture says, that as he would pass by, that his shadow, if it was cast upon someone, that he had such powerful influence that there was actually power in his shadow. Influence is a wonderful thing. God has seen fit to give our church influence in this community, throughout this region, throughout the nation, and yes, even around the world. God has granted us influence. God has given you influence. Now, I believe with all my heart that one of the things that will determine whether you are a success or failure in life is what you do with the influence that God has given to you. You have influence over people I'll never have opportunity to influence. There are people that I have opportunity to influence that would not give you the time of day. God is very gracious to do that, and He opens up the hearts of people to certain individuals in amazing ways, in miraculous ways, really. I want to talk to you for a little bit this evening about this subject, you and your shadow. You and your shadow. Or we could just talk about the word influence. Let me pray, and we'll jump right into the message. Father, I pray you'd help us now. And Lord, may we maximize the influence that we've been given. Yes, as a ministry, as a local church. We're grateful for the influence that we have, but we'll dig a little deeper than that tonight, and I want to challenge people individually, not corporately, to take advantage of the influence that you have given them over people with whom they work, over people in their family, influence over people that they will only pass once in this life. And God, may we see the bigness of this whole matter of our shadow and our realm of influence, God. And I pray this, God, I pray you would expand our realm of influence and increase our influence that we might touch the lives of more and more people until the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you several things. We're going to get you out of here on time. Don't laugh. We are. And they got chicken and dumplings cooking back there, so we're going to hurry up. Number one, let me talk to you a little bit about the people affected. The people affected. In this story, the Bible tells us in verse number 15. Well, yeah, we'll look at verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And so in this story, and we're not going to look specifically at what happened, but in this story we find that the people who were affected by this influence were those who were sick. Now, God has given you a shadow. God has given you a realm of influence. And you will have the opportunity throughout your lifetime to cast that shadow on all different kinds of people. First of all, I want to talk to you about those who cross our paths. You see, if we were walking down across the parking lot this evening and the sun were at just the right height, at just the right setting in the sky, it would cast the shadow, and our shadow would touch people that we would not even realize we had influenced. It's the same way with your influence. As you go about your day-to-day life, you cross paths with people that God has allowed you to have influence over, and you don't even know you've influenced them. As you go to work, the people with whom you work, the people in your neighborhood, the people with whom you shop, the people who live near you, you need to understand that there are folks who are watching you and you have an opportunity to be a blessing to them. Is anybody listening? Is this working? Now, what I want to do is I want to take advantage of that shadow. I want to take advantage of that influence. I'll tell the story again. I don't think he was here the other night when I told it, but Dale McCray back here. Dale walked into Walmart a few weeks ago. Just a little, how old are you, Dale? 10? 10-year-old boy. Had a big old pocket full of tracks. Man, I got a dime in my shirt pocket. Let me get that thing out. I might need to. That's a tip for later on tonight. Had a big old bunch of tracks in his pocket. Walked into the bathroom at Walmart. Somebody saw him. Said, "What you got?" He said, "I got a little paper here that tells you about Jesus." And he gave the man one. The man was already saved. The man turned around and called me the next day, and he said, or 2 days later, he said, "Saturday, I was in Walmart. One of your young boys, about 8, 9, 10 years old, he told me the story. He said he gave me a track, and he said it convicted me because I have a stepson that I had never witnessed to. And he said I went home and he said I was so convicted by the behavior of that young man who cared about my soul enough to give me a gospel track. He said I went home and I spoke to my 27, I believe he said, year old stepson. He said I had the opportunity to lead my stepson to Christ. Now, that's influence. He didn't go in there in that bathroom looking. He's not like Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch go through the bathrooms at the airport and he'd walk by the stalls and he'd thumb tracks underneath. He said, "Read this while you're sitting there. And read this while you're sitting there. And read this way." He didn't go in there doing that. He's just going about his day-to-day routine. And God allowed a little 10-year-old boy to cast a shadow upon a security guard, about a 45-year-old security guard. And that's a wonderful thing. You're going to cross paths with people and you're going to have opportunity to interact with people. I remember hearing Brother House tell the story, told it many, many times, about when he was pastoring a church in Texas. And he said, "I'd be out mowing my grass." And he said, "I would always try to speak to people as they drive by my house. Sometimes I'll maybe drive by someone's house or I'll drive by a place of business and I'll always throw my hand up. And if it's somebody I know, and the kids will say, 'Did you see him?' I said, 'No, but in case they were looking, I wanted them to know that I waved at them.'" And the brother House said, "I would be out in the front yard mowing." He said, "I just, every time a car would come by," he said, "I'd throw my hand up and wave." He said, "One day I was out at the front of the church greeting folks as they came in," and he said, "a young couple came in. And he said, I shook their hand." He said, "I'm Pastor Howes. Welcome to Miller Road Baptist Church." And they said, "Well, Pastor, we're glad to be here." He said, "What brought you our way? What introduced you to our church?" He said, "Well, man, you always speak to us. Every time we drive by your house, you're mowing grass." Now, you better understand this. If you're a child of God and you have any kind of testimony whatsoever, people are watching you. They watch. They watch how you dress. They watch how you talk. They watch how you behave. They watch whether or not you pray over your meal in the restaurant. They watch that. They watch whether or not you... they watch whether or not you bow your head for prayer at church when it's time to pray. They ought not be, but they do. And we need to understand that we have the opportunity to affect people just simply by crossing paths with folks. Hey, when you leave this building tonight, you represent our church everywhere you go. People you work with know you go to church here. Your neighbors know you go to church here. And they watch you We got a phone call recently about some of our people who were traveling, and they didn't take advantage of the opportunity to be a positive testimony. It was a little bit of a negative testimony, and people called me and like, man, that's fine. I want to know, man. If we're dropping the ball and it's a matter of influence, I want to know about it. See, not only do you affect people, those who cross your paths, but I think you can cast a shadow upon those who criticize you. Preacher, what are you talking about? There will be folks who will take an adversarial position against you if you do what is right. In this passage, Peter had already been brought before the council. He'd already been threatened. And you need to understand, look, you might as well go ahead and accept the fact. If you're not tough, one of our men came to me. I don't think he's here tonight. But he came to me this morning, Wednesday night. He was poking fun about my bald spot. And he said, "Preacher, man, that thing bothered me." He said, "It got away with me." He said, "I hope I didn't offend you." And I said, "Brother, you didn't offend me." I said, "Look, you gotta have thick skin to survive around here." And we enjoy it. We rib each other a little bit and have fun with things and poke fun. But don't you ever do that again. You understand me? And we have a good time with it. And obviously joking, and we enjoy it. But hey, you might as well accept it. If you decide that I'm going to be a Bible-believing Christian, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to try to do what's right, I'm going to try to be a testimony, I'm going to try to have influence, you're going to be misunderstood. People are going to criticize you. And you will, along the way of trying to influence people, you will develop enemies. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you something about this matter of enemies. See, I believe that you can cast a shadow on your enemies as well. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 18. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 18. Let's see what it says here. I'm going to start reading. You catch up with me. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm convinced with some people it's impossible. But he said, as much as lieth in you, if it's possible, he said, I want you to live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I just want you to, look, if you decide you're going to do right, live for God, you're going to have enemies. And I do believe this. I believe there will be some that no matter how hard you try, and no matter how loving you are, and no matter how forgiving and how gracious you are, they will become your enemy. But I want you to see what God says about that. He said, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's influence. You see, when you get somebody and they're your enemy, what you do is you cast the shadow of influence on them by being kind to them. We call it till them with kindness. Just being gracious, being forgiving, being kind. You say, well, they hate me. Well, they hated Christ too. But he forgave. And you allow that realm of influence, that shadow to be cast upon those who have criticized you. Don't you dare tonight get yourself into this rut and this routine that, well, they're mean to me, I'll be mean to them back. God said in the next verse, He said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm going to say something that I might be criticized for, and that's all right too. We've gone through trials at our church over the years. Many years ago, we had a trial. And boy, we had a lot of people who were became very adversarial toward our ministry. You know what we decided? We decided we were going to take the high road. And we decided we were going to be kind to people. We decided we were going to be gracious to people. We decided that if we saw people out in public, we were going to speak to them. We decided that we were going to, if we knew someone was in need, if we found out that our enemy was hungry, we were going to feed him arsenic. I mean, we were going to feed him. We decided we were going to try to be Christian about this thing. Do you know what God has done? God has brought many of those people, not necessarily back to our church, but back into friendship with our ministry. And that's a wonderful testimony. What is that? Well, that's simply allowing God to cast a shadow upon those who criticize you. I was talking with someone recently who had been away from our church for many years and came back, and they said, man, the first Sunday we came past, we can't tell you, our heart was beating 90 miles an hour, and we were sweating, and we were nervous, and we were afraid we might be asked to leave, and we didn't know whether or not we'd be accepted. And they said, oh, man, were we shocked and surprised and overjoyed that folks were glad to see us, and people loved us, and they shook our hands and said, we're glad you're here. It's Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. It's just being kind and tender-hearted toward other people. Casting a shadow of influence upon those who criticize us. Who else does our shadow affect? Well, it affects those who cross our paths and those who criticize us. I tell you, somebody else our shadow affects, those closest to us. You see, I think it's very important we understand that those, if we're not careful, we'll overlook those who we influence. And I'm grateful. I thank God that He has given me a realm of influence, and He's allowed me to help a lot of people. But the people who are affected by my shadow the most are those who are closest to me. See, I'm afraid many times as fundamental Baptist people that we get caught up in this thing of reaching the world, and that is our commission. He did say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But I want to tell you something, sir. Your children are a part of the world. And your wife and your husband, they're a part of the world. And I'm afraid sometimes we get so consumed, we say, man, I am going to cast a shadow on the whole world, but don't overlook those little kids. Don't overlook those 16 babies this morning who need somebody to be a positive influence in their life to cast the right kind of shadow. Don't quit your bus route, but don't forget your kid. Don't quit your Sunday school class, but don't forget your child. I was talking recently to a pastor's wife, and she said, preacher, she said, I just don't know what to do. She said, my pastor's busy, and he's building work for God, and people are getting saved, and he's influencing a lot of people, and God is blessing, but he doesn't have time for me. He doesn't have time for my children. Listen to me tonight. You be careful. Yes, you reach the world, but don't lose your home to reach the world. Who's affected by our shadow? Those closest to us. And so we see here the people who are affected. But number two, I want you to see with me the power assumed. And I love this right here. Don't miss this. Word had gotten around that there was something about this guy named Peter. He had preached at Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. He healed a lame man who had been that way since birth. He had boldly stood before the council and given a powerful testimony. And a matter of fact, when it was all over and Peter had finished, the Bible says that those who were his enemies, they took knowledge because of his boldness. They said, this guy has been with Jesus. And word has spread to the point that now Peter walks through the streets and folks have assumed that he has power, and they bring their loved ones out in couches and beds and cots so that they can be influenced by this great man of God. We call it reputation. We call it our testimony as the people of God. We ought to live in such a way that people believe that it is in their best interest to be close to us. You understand what I'm saying? We ought to live in such a way that people would say, man, I want to get around that church because God's blessing that church. Someone told me, they said, preacher, we many years ago got caught up in some things and we left the church and we would drive by fellowship on the way to our church and we watched it for a year and 2 years and 3 years and 5 years and 10 years and 11 years and 12 years, and we noticed that the parking lot kept getting more full and more full and more full, and our church kept falling off and falling off and falling off. And one dear lady said, I finally told my husband, look, next Sunday you drop me off there and go on over yonder. There's something going on over there at that church. I need what's going on. That's influence. That's a good thing. See, I think about Jacob. He came to Haran and he met Rachel. And Rachel took him to her father, Laban. And you know the story. We don't have time to go into it in detail, but Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Laban played a dirty trick on him. He got married, and that night on his honeymoon, He pulled back the veil and it wasn't Rachel. It was Leah. Now the only thing that God could think to say about Leah was she had pretty eyes. That ain't very good. Says she's tender-eyed. And so he came back to Laban and he said, look, I was working for Rachel. He said, well, if you're going to have Rachel, you're going to have to work 7 more years. And if you know the story, we don't have again have time to read it, but he labored 7 more years and God gave him Rachel and God blessed him. And then the day came when Jacob came to Laban and he said, I'm going to leave. And I love what Laban said. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27, Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. He said, could you hang around? Because I have learned something. I have learned that when I'm close to you, good things happen. I have learned that there is something about your life. There's something about the way you live, and God blesses you, and that blessing has spilled over onto me. You ever heard anybody say, well, man, don't be around him, because if lightning strikes and God kills him, I don't want to get caught up in the crossfire. But you know what? I tell you what, I believe in a little bit that thing could work the other way, that God, hey, you know what? God could bless your boss because of your sake. God could bless your employer because you work there. By the way, He ought to. Hey, if you're here tonight and you live in a home and a family that's unsaved, God could bless your family because of you. And He ought to. And I'm going to tell you this, this whole city doesn't understand it, and there are cities all over this nation that don't understand it, but the thing that has kept the blessing of God upon the United States of America is the righteousness of God's people. You see, they drive by the highway and they look over here on a Sunday night and say, man, those people, they go to church all the time. Is that all they do? Well, yeah, we do pretty much. Is that all those people do? But what they don't understand, that when God got ready to destroy Sodom, He was looking for 10 righteous people. Thank God we got more than 10. See, there is a power to be assumed. We ought to have a testimony, man. We ought to have influence that people would say, I want what they have. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, there's a man who'll be here next week, Lord willing. He's a good man. If he's here and you have an opportunity, but just be good to people. Would you do that? Would you be kind to visitors and speak to them? That makes a difference. It's the right thing to do. But he called me a couple weeks ago and he said, Brother Finley, he said, I've been serving on staff in a church for 13 years, I believe he said. And he said, the church has just really changed from what I thought it was. And he said, the pastor's kind of taking a different direction. He said, he's my friend and I love him. He said, but I can't stay here any longer. And he said, I'm praying God would open up a door and provide me a pastorate. But if he doesn't, he said, I got to have somewhere to have my family. He said, I'm not going to sacrifice my family for my ministry. And he said, if God doesn't provide something for me, he said, your church is one of, I think he said, 3 churches that I'm looking at different places across the country. He's only been here one time, and that was probably 5 years ago. Came through on vacation on Sunday night. He said, but I've heard of your work, and I know some of the men who work with you there in the ministry. And he said, I've heard about the blessing of God on that place. He said, that's the kind of place I want my family, my children to be. He said, I want to be under the blessing of God. You know what? That's a wonderful testimony. Last week we had 2 families, one from the state of Florida and one from the state of Illinois who came here, his Spanish families who came here. One of them had never been to our church, but they had heard about our ministry. And they said, man, that's the kind of place that we want to be. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, don't mess that up, please. Don't you go to work tomorrow and take God's name in vain and curse and tell dirty jokes and look at pornography and mess that up. Hey, don't you lay out of church Wednesday night and everybody in your neighborhood knows you go to Fellowship Baptist Church and they notice that you don't leave about 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Don't mess up our testimony. Hey, Oh, you go, the amens are out the door here. Hey, when you're driving our buses, fellas, don't ruin our testimony. Man, people watch. They know where we're from. When you young people are out on youth activities or ball games with the Christian school and you're in a restaurant, you behave yourself and you clean up after yourself and you act like you got a little bit of sense and leave behind a good testimony. Why? Because that's our influence. And so we see the power to be assumed. I think about they're out of town this week visiting out in California. I think about Sean and Molly Saunders. They came here for our youth conference 2 years ago. Not this past spring, but spring before. First time they'd ever been around our ministry. Brother Sean was a youth pastor in an independent Baptist church up in Virginia. And one Sunday during Christmas time, Christmas Sunday, I think, and it snowed that weekend. And we met in the fellowship hall, and I was coming by the hall, and I saw Molly, and I spoke to her. And then her husband came out of the restroom. I spoke to him. He said, "I've been here before, Brother Finley." He said, "I brought a youth group from our youth conference, for your youth conference from our church up in Virginia." I said, "I remember that." I said, "What brought you to our age?" He said, "Well, my wife's family lives over in Raleigh, and we're just in the area for Christmas. And we were going to go to their church, but their church canceled service." Oh, by the way, those little things that you think don't mean anything, we got a family because we didn't cancel service when it snowed. And he said that we were going to go to their church, but they canceled the service. So we came over here, and he said, "I'm kind of glad. I wanted to see your work." And I said, "Well, brother, it won't be much of a work today, man. It snowed. The buses aren't running. A lot of people didn't come." 2 weeks later, his pastor calls me. And his pastor says, "Brother Finley," he said, "you know Sean Saunders?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I understand he was at your church a couple of weeks ago." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, he's going to be moving there to join your church." I thought the pastor was upset. I said, "Wait a minute, brother. Now some guys do. But I said, he said, no. He said, "I think it's the will of God." He said, "I'm excited. And I think, man, here's a young couple who's faithful to church and supporting the work of God and going soul winning, and God's going to give them some realm of influence here." Why? Just because a church had a good testimony. The power that's assumed. Several years ago, we went to a basketball tournament. And up in Indiana at Hammond, and we started playing in that tournament. Man, we were so far in over our heads, it wasn't even funny. And every year, they were glad to have us because they needed somebody to play the consolation game every year. But we noticed there was a team there that always seemed, they were always competitive. Some years played for the tournament championship. We watched them. They carried themselves properly. Their young people were neat, and they were polite, considerate. They were successful on the court. They had a good testimony. And Brother Ken had enough wisdom to find the man who was kind of in charge of that group. His name was Mark Dalton. And he went to Brother Dalton and he said, "Look, man, we're not very old in this thing. We've only had a program for a few years, and I've watched your kids, and I've watched what you do, and that's what we're after here." And now Brother Dalton's been here for 2 years. He'll be back again tomorrow to conduct our camp, and he's helped us. Why? Because he had influence, and we wanted what he had. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does anybody want what you have? The truth is, sometimes they want what you have, but they're not willing to pay the price you paid to get it. But do people look at your family and say, "I want that kind of family"? Do they look at your marriage and say, "I want that kind of marriage"? Those are the kind of kids I want to produce right there. The kids just like those kids right there. That's the kind of life I want to live. That's the kind of testimony I want to have. That's the victory I want to enjoy. There's a power to be assumed. And then the last thing I want to give you tonight, not only the people affected and the power assumed, but there's the persuasion applied. I want you to notice something about this story. I was reading this and it hit me that in order for there to be a shadow, there must be a source of light. Matter of fact, the dictionary defines the word shadow as an area that is not or is only partially irradiated or illuminated because of the interception of radiation by an opaque object between the area and the source of radiation. Did you get that? Basically, you guys are killing me. Basically, a shadow, you can't have a shadow without a light source. And it hit me. In order for there to be a shadow, there's got to be a source of light. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at two passages here, and we are done. Trying to make up from giving you 15 minutes back from this morning, okay? Acts chapter 3 and verse number 12. Okay, now this shadow, I want Peter's shadow to fall upon me. I've got a sick child, and I want the shadow of Peter to fall upon him. I have a sick wife, and I want the shadow of Peter to touch him. Well, if there's going to be a shadow, there has to be a light source. And it says in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Peter said, "Don't look at me! I don't have anything." Matter of fact, he told they told a beggar one day, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Peter said, "I don't have it. I'm just casting a shadow from the source of life." In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, flip over there if you would. The Bible said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." You know, if this thing of influence works like it's supposed to, you don't get the credit. Do you know that in order to cast a shadow, I don't have to do anything? All I have to do to cast a shadow is get between the recipient and the source of life. That's all I have to do. I don't have to be talented. Talented people. Untalented people can cast a shadow. I don't have to be impressive. I don't have to have some vivacious personality. I don't have to be educated. Uneducated people can cast a shadow. I just have to get between the recipient and the source of life. And what Peter was trying to tell everybody he came in contact with is the reason I have a shadow is because of the light. 1 John, the Bible says this, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You understand what I'm saying tonight? You're not going to have a shadow if you don't get close to the Son. How much did you read your Bible this week? Did you talk to God at all this week? You ever, man, I watch people of influence, and many, many times God gives people unbelievable influence, and I can't understand. Have you ever gone to hear some famous guy, supposedly famous guy, preach, and you, man, these thousands of people going to his church, and you go hear him and you say, "I don't understand it. Man, he ain't nothing fancy. Man, I don't understand it. How come, man, why all those people go?" I believe it's because he's casting a shadow. I believe what has happened is he has gotten himself between those people and the source of light. And they have been influenced by his shadow. Hey, you want to influence some boys in your Sunday school class this week? Get close to the light. You want to have power on your life next weekend to go out on your bus route and get folks to come? I just don't understand why I can't get anybody. I guarantee you this. You get close to the light source and cast a shadow of influence, people will come. Guarantee you that.
I don't understand why I can't man my own kids. I can't even influence my own kids.
Are you spending any time? They said about these guys, I'll tell you one thing. They've been with Jesus. Influence is a wonderful thing. I wanted to encourage you and challenge you tonight about your realm of influence. And I wanted to share a letter with you that someone brought by the office this week. We're in the middle of our 49th year of ministry. And God has blessed this church with amazing, amazing influence. I mean, really, for who? You know what? We know us. You know what I'm saying? And for who and what we are, it's amazing what God has done. I think about the pastors who are standing in their pulpits right now preaching who were influenced by this church. I think about the youth groups who've been influenced by our youth conference and our teen camps and our junior camps. I think about the people who've been saved. I think about testimonies. I got an email the other day from a young lady. And I didn't mention it. I don't think out here. Some of you heard me tell it. And the lady said, would you give me the name of a certain person that used to go to your church? The lady that she mentioned doesn't come to our church anymore. She said, she gave me the name. She said, do you have any contact information? She said, I've been going through some times in my life. She said, I got saved as a little girl at your church, but I got out of the will of God and I've been out of church for a long time. My life has really fallen to pieces. And she said, a couple of days ago, for the first time in many years, I actually talked to God. And she said, God gave me the name of that young teenage girl who 20 years ago brought me to church on the Sunday school bus. And she says, I need to get in touch with her. That's influence.
I got this letter this week. It said, Dear Pastor Rick Finley, I'd like you to know that we thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. I'd like to thank you and your church for something done not yesterday, not last week, but 20 years ago. You see, Brother Rick, 20 years ago, a person from your church came to our house to invite my family to church. At the time, we weren't going to church and we didn't really even know who God was. When we were asked to come to church the next Sunday, we said, maybe next time. It was at that time that God started this great work. You see, when we told the bus worker we'd pass on going to church that Sunday, they asked if our 4-year-old son could go. We said we didn't know because he was only 4. They said that if we would let him go, every good bus worker says something like this, we won't let him out of our sight. That's called a lie. For the next year or so, every Saturday morning, the bus workers would faithfully come to our house. On occasion, I'd say to my wife, honey, go to the door. It's those church people again. At that time, I could not understand why a person would spend every Saturday going to people's houses inviting them to church. One Sunday afternoon after church, our son got off the bus and came running through the door saying, Mom and Dad, next Sunday I'm singing at church. Will you please come and hear me sing? Well, we could say no to a bus worker, but it's hard to say no to your own child. So the next Sunday morning, my wife and I went to church to hear our son sing. We just couldn't believe how friendly everyone was and just how beautiful a bunch of little kids could sing. We started going to church on and off for the next few years. By this time, we had 2 other children going to church. Then it seemed like they were singing every Sunday. Not long after that, one Sunday morning, my wife and I surrendered our lives to the Lord. Since that point, we've had our ups and downs, but praise the Lord, a lot more ups than downs. We're able to send all 3 of our children to a wonderful Christian school. 2 have graduated and the other is a junior this coming fall. It's a miracle that God brought us from hiding from the church people on Saturday mornings to being faithful to our church and trying to win souls to Christ. All this would not have been possible if those dedicated Christians had not been so persistent. I'd like to thank you, Brother Rick, your church, Miss Roycroft, and others for introducing my family and I to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please accept this gift and use it in any way you see fit to reach souls. In that envelope was a check for $5,000. I want to ask you a question. You may not get a good letter and you may not get a $5,000 check. If you do, you better tithe. But who are you influencing? Well, I just don't understand, preacher. I want to. And man, I ask God to help me. And are you between the source of light and the people who need your shadow? Talking about the people that you work with. Talking about the people who hate you. You know what they need? They need your shadow. Talking about the people closest to your family. They don't need your money, sir. They need you to be close to God. Talking about the people who are in your distant family. Talking about the people in your neighborhood. Talking about the people you eat with at the restaurant, the people who serve your table, the people who service you and take care of you, people you interact with every day, people by the multitudes who need somebody to cast a shadow and influence on their life. Father, I pray you to help us tonight. Help us to realize that this is big business, big league stuff we're involved in. God, I pray that you'd help us to realize that we are here tonight in the house of God. If we're saved, we're saved because somebody cast a shadow. Somebody got between the source of light, the Son of God, and us. They interceded for us. They were a mediator for us. They introduced us to Christ. They introduced us to the church. God, we have to do that for others. I pray, dear God, you'd give us a powerful testimony and a wonderful reputation and great, far-reaching influence. But Lord, as we do all those things, may we not overlook the people who live in our house who need somebody to see Christ in us. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you tonight would just simply say this by an uplifted hand? Preacher, the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart tonight about something, my influence, my walk with God, my maybe bitterness towards someone else. And somewhere tonight, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart through the message, and I just want you to pray with me about what God's doing in my life. Would you just lift your hand to see me, all over the room? You better use that influence you have. Let me tell you, hey, Daddy, you better use it.